Hi, this is Peter Weir, director of The Truman Show, and you are listening to Movie Magazine International, San Francisco.
This is Heather Clisby, and I'm talking with Peter Weir, director of The Truman Show. Now, in the film, there's a director-creator, Christoph, Ed Harris's character, and I was wondering how much you related to that character as the director of this film.
Well, I don't think he'd be a member of the DGA, put it that way. He's broken every rule in the book. But yeah, I enjoyed really creating a portrait to some degree with dear Ed's help of a movie director rather than a television producer. I mean, he was called the creator, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of an ironic term anyway, in light of the Truman Show. But I enjoyed putting touches of the profession, as it were, mm-hmm. in the things that he did, like, you know, cueing the music and getting very involved emotionally with what he was doing. And choosing the shots and so forth.
Now, when I was in the theater watching this, the people in the audience were so affected by what was going on, and I'm going to make an assumption or a statement about, I think maybe it's because of what's going on today's society, people's private lives becoming so public, and I was wondering if what you wanted the audience to walk away with, what kind of feeling did you shoot for?
My whole way of approaching a project is as a storyteller, is making it work internally, making it work as a drama. And there was no difference in the way I approached The Truman Show in that regard. Mind you, the thing is a virtual hedgehog of metaphors. I mean, it bristles with analogous thoughts. And I tended to leave them be because I didn't want to push any one way that you could view this film, particularly the relationship between the creator of the show, the surrogate father, as it were, and his creation, Truman. I mean, you could talk about Dr. Frankenstein, you could talk about the sort of Garden of Eden, and here's this creator, as in capital C, and this is his Adam, and or just father and son, you know. So there are so many aspects of our modern life in regard to the media and how it's affecting our lives and where it might go from here. That perhaps accounts for some of the reactions that you've seen.
Yes, it reminded me of some of the old Twilight Zone episodes, that sort of creepiness of having somebody watch in on you. And how did you approach directing Jim Carrey? I know he's a straight actor, but maybe he came to the table with some different manic energy. I don't know.
Yeah, basically, every morning, overnight, I'd have him tied down so that in the morning, when I had my whip and chair...
That's what I pictured.
He didn't have a trailer, he had a cage. Well, the thing is that Jim loved the script and importantly was looking for a change in his own career. And so this was part of a plan he had before I came along or before The Truman Show came along. And very smart too. I mean, it's wonderful to have built up this following of largely kids of all ages. But that's not something that I think he'd plan to be doing, you know, from the next 10 years of his life. So he began to broaden, as Robin Williams did, in a different with a different comic background, mm-hmm. to open the possibilities. Mm-hmm. And that's where Jim was heading anyway at the time I came along. So he's a, you know, intelligent man. We'd sit down and discuss how and in what way we might use any humour, because I also wouldn't want to hide his light under a bushel, as they say. You know, if there's a moment where he can be funny, then this is what would have made The Truman Show enjoyable, the actual fictional show. So, you know, there were moments where we ad-libbed things and tried and experimented with things. The whole sequence in the mirror where Truman is drawing in the mirror, this came from an idea that I suggested to him, and he then went off and over a period drew on his own bathroom mirror, and every time I'd come to visit him, he'd have his whole bathroom, he had a pretty big bathroom, was covered in all these drawings in soap, you know, and he'd do these various characters. So we put a couple of them in.
Last night I watched The Cars That Ate Paris. It was one of your first films, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. And thinking about all the films you've made, you know, over your long career, Dead Poets Society, Green Card, Fearless, sort of trying to find a common denominator, and I have to say I didn't come up with one. Do you have a film that you feel particularly attached to, or particularly strong feeling about, or very proud of, something that sticks out of your mind?
I don't think so. No, I mean, to some degree, the last film you made is the one that you're closest to, you know, and just because you're still, you know, in this interview situation, still helping it go out into the world. But otherwise, I think, no. I mean, I think it's probably a pretty uncomfortable relationship for most directors with the past films. You know, you tend to want to move on and not think about it too much. And, you know, because there are things you'd do differently. And I tend to admire, in my own films, things I had the least to do with. You know, this is not some sort of false modesty. It's just that somebody else came up with such a bright idea, and there it is on the, you know, forever in the film. And you're so grateful and appreciate it. But, you know, you're your own worst critic.
When you were growing up in Sydney, did you have directors, filmmakers that you sort of looked up to, admired to, aspired to be like?
Yeah, I think in my younger days it was... first growing up as a kid, it was just Saturday afternoon movies, you know, which were really, I loved gangster movies and cowboy movies. And then television was a big influence at 12 with all the adult westerns and stuff like that in the mid-50s when we got TV. And Hitchcock's Half Hour, The Twilight Zone, as you mentioned. Comedies, you know, I loved Lucy, and I loved the George Burns and Gracie Allen show. So they were incredible. Then as a young man, I think it was unquestionably Stanley Kubrick, alone, who was the greatest influence on me. Then I would say close to him was David Lean. Then off to one side I'd put Roman Polanski, and in his early, I'm talking about their earlier films, you know, when I was young, Polanski working in Europe, and Joe Losey's last three or four films.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking with me, Peter. This is Heather Clisby with Movie Magazine.